2 Timothy chapter 1, the first 12 verses. From Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by God's will, sent to proclaim the promised life which we have in union with Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, may God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. I give thanks to God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did. I thank him as I remember you always in my prayers, night and day. I remember your tears, and I want to see you very much, so that I may be filled with joy. I remember the sincere faith you have, the kind of faith that your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice also had, and I'm sure that you have it also. For this reason, I remind you to keep alive the gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For the Spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, his Spirit fills us with power, love, and self-control. Don't be ashamed then of witnessing for our Lord, nor be ashamed of me, a prisoner for Christ's sake. Instead, take your part in suffering for the good news, as God gives you the strength to do it. He saved us and called us to be his own people, not because of what we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. He gave us this grace by means of Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but now it has been revealed to us through the coming of our Savior, Christ Jesus. He has ended the power of death and through the gospel has revealed immortal life. God has appointed me as an apostle and teacher to proclaim the good news. And it is for this reason that I suffer these things. But I am still full of confidence because I know whom I have trusted. And I'm sure he is able to keep safe what I have entrusted to him until that day. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way in which you've spoken to us through this word time and again this past year. And we pray that even at this moment you will speak a fresh word of truth, of hope, and of faith to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to comment on the words of Paul, a testimony, if you like, of Paul, who says, I am still full of confidence because I know whom I have trusted, and I'm sure that he's able to keep safe what I have entrusted to him. Or in the words of the song that we're going to sing a little later on, based on the AV, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. At the best of times, these are great words. But actually within their context, they're amazing words. For at the time, Paul was chained like a criminal. He was writing from death row. The end was in sight. And what's more, he was on his own. As he tells us toward the end of the letter, no one stood by me the first time I defended myself. And at this moment, only Luke is with me. What an end to such a promising life. Born into a good Jewish home, endowed with natural intelligence, he studied under Gamaliel. At one stage, the world was his oyster. A brilliant career lay ahead of him. But now, in a prison cell. Many a person might have become bitter and turned against God. But for Paul, there were no regrets. He said, I'm still full of confidence. It was almost as if he was saying, I would do it all over again. Not for one moment did Paul question God. Rather, his faith still held strong. How? How could he remain strong in God. Well, I want to say three things about the faith that kept him going. First of all, faith is confirmed by the past. I know, he said, whom I have trusted. Paul's confidence in the future lay in his past experience of God. Yes, through all the ups and downs of his life, Paul knew he'd experienced God's faithfulness. And with us this morning, he could have looked back and testify to his goodness. Indeed, it was precisely that which he did when he wrote to the church at Rome. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it, or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger, or death? No, in all these things, we have complete victory through him who loved us. It was his experience of God in the past that enabled him to look forward to the future. We're a mixed group, are we not, this morning? For some, life is plain sailing, perhaps. But for others, life is tough. And perhaps everything seems to be against you. And maybe your world is threatening to fall apart. And you wonder whether you can truly trust God. Whether you can with confidence entrust yourself to him. Listen to Paul. Listen to the church down through the centuries. God has never let down those who've entrusted their lives to him. God can be trusted. So faith is confirmed by the past. Secondly, faith is renewed in the present. I know whom I have trusted. Incidentally, Paul doesn't refer to what, but to whom. Paul doesn't say, I know what I have believed, but rather, I know whom I have trusted. Faith at the end of the day does not center in a list of propositions, but rather centers in a person. Faith is about entering a relationship with God. And what's more, this relationship is ongoing. And that's what Paul is saying here when he says, I know whom I have trusted. If you had the Greek text before you, you'd see that Paul is using here what's called a past perfect, which describes an action which began in the past and which continues into the present. So that when he says, I know whom I have trusted, he's basically saying, the God in whom I put my trust after that encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road is the God in whom I continue to put my trust, even as I lie in my prison cell. You see, faith is not a one-off. Faith is something that has to be renewed day by day. Faith is not just about an initial encounter with God. It is an ongoing relationship of trust. Faith is renewed in the present. And thirdly, faith looks forward to the future. I'm sure, he says, that he is able to keep safe until that day what I have entrusted to him. The good news is that when we commit ourselves to God, God commits himself to us, and he's there for us for keeps. He is able to keep safe until that day what I have entrusted to him. Literally, Paul talks of God caring for his deposit. Paul is using a banking term. Just as when we deposit money in the bank, we trust the banker to look after it, so when we entrust our lives to God, we trust God to look after us. He is able to keep safe until that day what I have entrusted to him. What was that day? Was it perhaps the imminent day of death? Paul, in his imagination, perhaps could already see the executioner's sword, but he wasn't afraid. Why? Because, as he said just a few verses earlier, he had entrusted himself to the one who has ended the power of death and through the gospel has revealed immortal life. Paul knew that there is nothing in this life, or indeed the next, which can separate us from God's love. Paul was confident. But maybe the day that Paul had in mind was Judgment Day, that day which lies beyond death, when we all have to stand before God and the inner secrets of our hearts are revealed. Again, for Paul, there was nothing to fear, because he knew that in Jesus his sins were forgiven. Indeed, as Paul had said earlier to Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So on this last Sunday of 2013, and as we look forward to 2014, let me assure you that for those who've entrusted their lives to God's safekeeping, there is nothing to fear. Our God is trustworthy. He will not let us down. He doesn't promise that life may be a bed of roses, no. But he does say that he'll be there whatever. Let's pray. Father God, our prayer is that we may have that same confidence which Paul had. And so with confidence, we look forward to the year that lies ahead, knowing that with you present, there is nothing to fear. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.